Hey, it's Ryan Tucker, and you're listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. Today, you're listening to Pastor Stephen's sermon out of Mark chapter 8, and it's titled, I Have Decided.
If you have a Bible, go ahead and open up Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. And I want to give you greetings from Ringa, Kenya, where last Sunday I had the privilege to preach in a service that began at 9 a.m. in the morning. We got there at 10 a.m. and it ended at 2:30 p.m. So the next time you're tempted to say, we've got a long service, no, you don't. And they would have stayed there until 10:30 p.m. Just a hunger and a desire. Each song that they sang would be 30 minutes. And you aren't worshiping unless you were dancing while you sang. And we're not talking about dancing in place. We're talking about dancing around a tent. There was an outdoor tent with many outdoor tents with about 2,000 folks underneath that tent. And it was hot and the sun was beating down. And so as the service continued, I spoke to the bishop who's the head of the orphanage that we were ministering through and the community there. And I'm like, you know, I was surprised at myself to say this, but I said, I feel like I might need to cut my sermon a little short because of the time. And he said, yeah, if you want to, just don't preach less than an hour. Because they won't consider that real preaching. And here's what I love about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me just stop and say this. I know we've got a lot of young preacher boys here in our church that God has called to safely take the gospel of Jesus around the world. Young men, listen to me. Never apologize for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't let it be an afterthought. Understand that is the greatest thing that you can do as a messenger and a herald of Jesus. And so even though we were there, I had a Swahili interpreter that I can only assume was saying what I was saying. And we came to the end and I said, you know, today you can give your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And over 100 people indicated that they gave their life to Jesus Christ. And it was just wonderful. We missed you guys. We were able to be a part of a pastor's training conference, and we had pastors that came from all over Africa. Naturally, we had Kenyan pastors there, pastors that came from Uganda, Tanzania, Rwanda, the Congo, Ethiopia, Nigeria, and the Sudan. They all came there to Nairobi, Kenya, and we were able to pour into their lives. My task was, what is biblical preaching? What does that look like? And I was able to teach them about that and also able to encourage them. And you can only imagine how they encouraged us as well. And so I'm thankful that as a question was asked to me almost a year ago, would you be willing to go and be a part of this? I'm thankful that I said yes. There was all kinds of reasons to say no, all kinds of excuses, but that simple yes, it allowed me to be a part of an amazing work of God. And you know what I have found? I have found that sometimes the best and biggest opportunities in our lives will come at a time and a way that we don't expect. We see that all throughout the Bible. For instance, when David was there and David killed Goliath, do you remember why David was even there to kill Goliath? He was taking lunch to his brothers. His dad sent him to the front of the line and said, your brothers are probably hungry. I've got an errand for you. Go and take them lunch. And while he was there, being obedient to his father, he fought Goliath and he killed him. I can only imagine when he woke up that morning, he had no idea, I'm going to be the hero of the nation. But when he laid down that night, he exactly was the hero of the nation. One simple step, one simple decision, and it led to a profound experience. Unexpected, yet God moving and God working. We even see that happening in the life of Moses. Moses is there, and Moses is working in his father-in-law's sheep shop, right? And he's there one day, and there's a bush that catches on fire, and God is speaking to him out of this bush. And God called him, and God had a plan for his life. And so he heard God's call, he surrendered to God's call, and as a result of that one unexpected moment and decision, he would not only be the deliverer of millions, but he would lead millions. One of my favorite stories is in the New Testament. Peter and a bunch of his buddies are there, and you know, man, they're professional fishermen, right? They're the Bill Dances of their day, the Jimmy Houstons of their day. And they are fishing all night long. The Bible says they didn't catch a single thing. And all of a sudden, Jesus said, hey, how about you try it a different way? How about you cast your nets on the other side of the boat? And the Bible says that they caught so many fish that their nets were breaking. They couldn't even bring them all into the boat. And then Jesus said, I want you to leave your nets and I want you to follow me. And they did. And when they got up that morning to go out fishing, I got a feeling they had no idea that they were about to be drafted into the service of the Lord. Do you think that when they got up that morning to go out fishing, they probably thought, you know what? God's going to use us to write part of the Bible. No. One unexpected decision. Very simple and very profound. So this morning, here's what I want to do. I'm not going to give you a normal outline like I normally would, you know, 1, 2, 3, ABC, all that kind of stuff. But instead, I've got 7 statements that I'm going to give you this morning for those of you who like to take notes, because I know some of you have said, if we don't have notes to take, we've not really been to church. And then there are others of you that are like, you've never said anything that makes me want to write it down. That's okay. That's okay. We're all good. I'm glad you're here. But I do want to give you 7 statements today that we're going to kind of craft this around as we are looking in Mark chapter 8. The first statement is this. Some of the greatest moments and experiences and seasons of your life will come when you least expect it through a simple step. I can remember when I asked Jennifer to marry me. She had no idea that I was going to ask her to marry me. I had gone and I had purchased an engagement ring, and I was serving as a youth pastor at a church in Arkansas. I had no money at all. Now, the place that I purchased the ring, in which I purchased it on an installment payment plan, the front was a jewelry store. The back was a pawn shop. I didn't buy it in the pawn shop. I bought it in the jewelry store. It may have come in through the pawn shop, but that's not where I bought it. And so I bought it with my mind of, I'll save this a month or so, and I'll give it to her or ask her to marry me at Christmas, and it can be an engagement ring, and it can be a Christmas present too. You know how guys think. But it was burning a hole in my pocket. And the very day that I got it, that night, I popped the question. And you know why they call it popping the question? Because you sneak up behind them and you're like, boom, here's your rock. Or in our case, boom, here's your slightly blemished pebble. And thankfully she said yes. And one decision, one unexpected decision, that changed the course of our lives. We're going to see this playing out in Mark chapter 8. And today I'm going to give every single person in this church who has never been biblically baptized as a public profession of your faith in Jesus Christ the opportunity to be baptized today. Please hear me. I'm not talking about getting baptized a month from now. I'm not talking about going through training for 3 years. I'm talking about you came here dry and you're going to leave here dripping wet, baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So with that being said, let's get right down to business. Look there with me, Mark chapter 8. We'll pick up in verse 31. Now, a little bit of background before we read verse 31. Jesus has been doing some amazing things in his ministry. He's feeding thousands of people. He is healing blind people. He's teaching some great stuff. And then there are a lot of people that are following him. But when he comes to verse 31 in Mark chapter 8, he's going to change what he's been talking about. No longer is he going to be talking about physical needs being met, but in verse 31, he's going to start talking about what it really means to follow him. Look in 31. And he, being Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man, that's a saying or a title of Jesus, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. Now, that's not what they wanted to hear. They wanted to hear Jesus say, you know what, the Romans that have been occupying us, I'm going to get rid of them. I'm going to be like David. I'm going to be a great military leader. There's going to be a great military conquest that is going to happen through Israel, and I'm going to be the one leading that. But for Jesus, for the first time, he's letting them know, hey guys, no longer is it going to be about an, you know, all you can eat fish and chips buffet. No longer is it going to be about these needs being met physically, but instead we're now talking about me giving my life as a ransom. So why? So the world might be saved through Jesus. Now look in verse 32. He spoke this word openly, and then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now, to rebuke someone means this, that you very strongly correct them. Peter starts giving Jesus his opinion. Peter starts giving Jesus his advice. Bad idea. How many of you today would be honest before everyone and before God, that there has been a time in your life, either mentally or through your actions, where you disagreed or you debated God? Raise your hand today. You argued with God. Okay. Now, if you won the argument, keep your hand up. Exactly. Nobody does, right? Nobody does. That's what I thought. Keep reading verse 33. But when he had turned around and he looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." So you got God's way, you got man's way. You got God's way, you got man's way. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it right. You got to do it God's way, not man's way. Verse 34. And when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his own soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And so over and over again, Jesus calls people to follow him. Jesus calls the unclean. He calls the evil, right? He calls the irreverent, the irreligious people to follow him. And then Jesus calls the religious people, those who seem as though on the outside that they've got it all together. Hey, go ahead and drop your pose, right? And follow me. Leads to the second statement. It's this. One of the most frequent commands that we see in all of Scripture is follow me. It's simple, but we would have to agree it's profound. Follow me. That's what all of it is about. Following Jesus Christ. And that is what he is saying to you today. Follow me. Now, I have a concern that when we think of the term or the words follow me, it no longer carries with it the significance of the day when Jesus said it. One of the things that comes to my mind when I think of follow me or following is social media, right? Whether it be Facebook or whether it be Twitter, which has been rebranded X, or whether it be TikTok or Instagram or even YouTube. I mean, we have a podcast that we do every week here, and when it's introduced every single week, Ryan will sit there and say, hey, don't forget to like us or follow us. Follow me. Now, I can remember a few years ago, our tech team came to me and they said, you know what, Pastor Stephen, we think we need to set you up a Twitter account. And I'm like, I don't think so. I thought Twitter was dumb. I mean, I don't need to know what you had for lunch, okay? I don't need to know when you took a nap or anything like that. And I just thought it was dumb. I mean, how many of you had Twitter? You were on Twitter at one time or another. Yeah? All right. How many of you have never been on Twitter and you think those that were on Twitter are nothing more than a tweet? Go. Yeah. And they said, you ought to have. I said, why? And they said, well, you could post things on there, kind of inspirational thoughts that could go out there that people could read. And I'm like, I could do that anyway. I don't need that. Well, you could post updates about your family. And I'm like, well, they could ask me and I could tell them. And then they said, well, you know, you could get on it so you could see what all the members of the church are doing. And I said, sign me up. And so I had a Twitter account. It's now an X account, and I never look at it. Just yesterday, I looked at it. I have 40 people that are following me. 40 people that are following me. But here's what following means. I can read what you say or not read what you say. Or I can choose. I'll take a little bit of this, but I'm not going to take that. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm just not going to do that, or I'm not going to listen to that. And that's kind of what following means in the world that we live in. I might read what you say. I might not read what you say. And my fear is that there are a lot of people out there, they say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, that are following Jesus in exact the same way. Almost like they follow folks on Instagram or TikTok or Facebook or Twitter, which is to say this. All right, I've click the button, Jesus. I'll listen to what you have to say. But Jesus, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick and I'm going to choose what parts of what you say that I pay attention to. So if it works for me, Jesus, then I'm going to do it. If I feel like doing it, then I'm going to do it. But hear me today, Jesus is not someone to be clicked on and followed. Jesus is to be revered. Jesus is to be worshiped. Jesus is to be obeyed. Jesus is to be respected. Jesus is to be honored. And Jesus Christ is not one of many. Jesus Christ is the one and only God. And he calls you to follow him. Let me give you the third statement. To follow him means this: no other options, no other gods. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It means I'm doing what you say. It's not my life, it's your life. If you're a follower of Christ, what you're saying is, my life has been paid for. It has been bought at a price. What price? The blood of Jesus Christ. To the point where you and I, we really can't even refer to it as our lives anymore, but instead it is now his life. Wherever you lead, I'm going to go. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to take up my cross, and I'm going to follow you and only you. Jesus, you are the leader of my life. Statement number four, the first step Jesus calls us to, if we're really following him, is to be baptized. And look at me. Baptism is more than just clicking on a button. Baptism is more than just a religious ceremony. When the early church would be baptized, when the early church would publicly profess, Jesus Christ is my Lord, it would cost them greatly. It would cost them their family. It would cost them their way of making a living. In some cases, it would cost them their very lives. And so I'm afraid that you and I, just like we have forgotten the meaning of what it means to follow Jesus Christ, I'm afraid that we've emptied the meaning out of what it means to be baptized. That we've taken baptism, something that is extremely important to Jesus Christ, and we've made it less than. See, there are a lot of people today who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, but how can you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ if you are not willing to do the very first command that he has called you to do as a follower of Jesus Christ? It's baptism. Baptism is simple, but baptism is so deep. Did you know a lot of the deepest things in life are like that? So profound, but so simple. I want you to look at Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he commands them. And here's what he commands. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to teaching them to obey all that I've commanded. And I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. Jesus makes no bones about it. He says, after you have placed your faith in me, I don't want you to do it privately, right? I don't want you to keep it a secret. I want you to let the world know that you now belong to me through baptism. Now, the Greek word for baptize is the word baptizo. Baptizo means to submerge. It means to dunk. It means to really submerge. It's what you did this morning with your donut and your coffee. You didn't sprinkle a little coffee on your donut. You submerged it fully in. That's the reason why we do submersion when it comes to baptism. But it's a beautiful picture of what's taking place. Because when you and I are following through with believers' baptism, what is taking place there is we are sitting there and we are saying that Jesus was in the grave for 3 days and he died for our sins. So we were buried with him. And then as we bring them up out of the water, as the water is now dripping from their heads, and as we are clapping and we are celebrating what they have just said and what they've just done, what it is indicating is they've now been raised to a brand new life in Jesus Christ, and their sins through faith and grace have been washed away. And so Jesus says, that may sound like a very unimportant thing to your modern mind, but it's important to me if you claim to be my follower. Which leads us to statement number 5. What's important to God must be important to us. See, a lot of us have a lot of different traditions when it comes to baptism. Maybe this morning you would say, I have no tradition when it comes to baptism at all. I don't even know really what you're talking about. You know, a lot of times when it comes to baptism, we'll focus on our parents' decision instead of our own decision. I had a friend at the church that I pastored in Little Rock by the name of Tim. And Tim was raised a Catholic priest son. And some of you are trying to connect the dots and you're like, I don't think so. That can't be right. They had something take place in Arkansas. They could not fill all the priest positions in the Catholic Church. So they expanded it. And his dad was an Episcopalian priest who was married. And so he became a Catholic priest. And so he was raised in the Catholic Church. He was sprinkled as a child. And then he got older and he went off to college. And he met a Baptist girl, and they got married, and he started coming to the church there. This was before I got there. And he started getting challenged to read the Bible for himself and not depend upon the priest to read it for him. And as he started reading the Bible, he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. We call it being saved. And then as he continued to read the Bible, he understood, hey, the very first thing that I can do as a follower of Christ is to publicly pronounce him as my Lord and Savior through the act of baptism. But he wasn't baptized. And this had been going on for years in his life. And so we started talking, and I'm like, Tim, what? Where are you waiting, man? Why would you not do this? And he said, I would never want to do anything to dishonor or disrespect my dad. Man, my dad loves me. My dad has been an integral part of my life. I would never want to bring shame upon him. And I said, brother, listen, you don't even need to pray about this. This is obedience. And so some time went by, and then all of a sudden he came and he said, hey, listen, I'm ready. You think I can be baptized next Sunday? I said, yeah, but talk to me. What changed? He said, I finally called up my dad, went and met him for lunch. And he said, as we were eating, I told Dad, Dad, listen, there's something I want to say to you. I want you to know that I love you. I care for you. I thank God that you are my dad. I'm so thankful for how you invested in my life. I would never want to do anything to bring dishonor upon you. But I've been saved, and I want to follow through in believer's baptism and be baptized by immersion in the Baptist church. And here's what his dad said. Oh my goodness, is that all? You called me and wanted to have lunch. I thought you were going to tell me something tragic, deliver some bad news. And here's what the dad said. I thought you did that like 10 years ago. And his father said, anything that causes you to be obedient to Jesus and fall more in love with him, I'm for. And so now he was sitting there and he was saying, this is my faith. I'm owning this faith. It's not my parents, it's mine. And we refer to it around here as believer's baptism. Why do we call it believer's baptism? Because 27 times in the book of Acts, you will see baptism. And all 27 times they believed first and then they were baptized. And I'm so concerned that we're spending a whole service dealing with this that some of you are going to misunderstand and think that I'm saying that baptism is necessary for your sins to be forgiven, that baptism is necessary for salvation, or it's through baptism that you get the way to heaven. It is not. Ephesians 2:8 says, we are saved by grace through faith. We see it in the Bible. There was a thief that was there hanging on the cross next to Jesus Christ as Christ was being crucified. And that thief worshiped him as the one true God. And notice this, Jesus didn't say, oh, by the way, we got to get you down off this cross and get you baptized. We got to get you some clothes, get you down, get you changed, you know, find a body of water. Let's get you baptized. No, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, you will be with me today. In paradise, today. And so it is not being baptized. Why? Because we're saved by grace through faith. No work can save you. No amount of money given can save you. No amount of service can save you. Baptism cannot even save you. Which leads to the sixth statement. Baptism is not about salvation. Baptism is about identification. What do we mean by that? When you are baptized, it is you saying, I belong to you, Jesus. My sins have been washed away because of faith in you. And I'm going to take the very step that you told me that I'm to take. Whether I've been a Christian for 2 days, 2 minutes, 20 years, I'm going to follow you like you said I am to follow you. Remember, we got to go back to Peter. We got to do it God's way, not man's way. I'm going to do it God's way, not man's way. Man makes baptism optional. Man will sit there and say this, oh, it's kind of a good thing to do, right? It's a good spiritual experience. Yet God's way says this, no, it's an act of obedience. It is the right thing for you to do. It's the very first thing that you would do publicly, declaring my life belongs to Jesus Christ. And so I ask some of you today, what's keeping you from being baptized today? Cut my sermon short. I don't know what a lot of you were thinking out there in the hallway. Boy, he's preaching and preaching. No, I didn't. I didn't. I got a lot of my preach out last week. I mean, you're witnessing an Old Testament miracle. I'm cutting my sermon short, so we'll have plenty of time to baptize. Here's the problem. We didn't plan on 35. So, what is it? I hope that those of you who have already been baptized and you know this already and you have been baptized in believer's baptism, that you're not sitting there today saying, well, I'm bored, man. I can take the day off. I don't have to worry about it. I've already taken care of this in my life. But instead, my prayer is that you would join me in praying for those who have yet to follow through in this act of obedience. There is great, great freedom that comes. I have folks that'll say to me, I just don't understand. I don't have assurance in my life. I don't have peace in my life when it comes to following Christ. And we start walking through the process, and then I'm like, what about that first act? What about baptism? And they've never honored the Lord in that. And so I hope that you're praying with me. And honestly, I wish that I knew every single one of you personally. It's impossible for me to know each one of you personally. We've got over 4,000 members here at this church. We'll have over 2,000 in services today. I mean, if I knew every one of you personally, then I would lovingly come up and grab you by the collar of the shirt and pull you in real tightly and just say, why are you delaying? What are you waiting on? What is it that is stopping you from being obedient to the Lord in baptism today? And there are all kinds of excuses that happen. So far this year, before today, we'd baptized about 150, and we're like, oh man, isn't that great? And it is, because every one of those represents a person publicly who has proclaimed, my life has been changed, my life is saved, Jesus is Lord of my life. And then last year, we baptized 250 in that year, and we rejoice, because that represents 250 souls that say, I was headed to hell, but now I'm trusting Christ, and I'm not ashamed. I want everyone to know. But when I was meeting with the staff in a staff retreat not long ago, and we were looking at things, we rejoiced over the 250 last year, but we had over 500 who said, I gave my life to Jesus. And they never followed through with the very first act of what a Christian does who's been saved. And so we come up with all these excuses, and I know that they're well-meaning excuses. I'll have folks that'll say this, well, don't I have to go through some training or something? And there'll be folks, I promise you, we baptized 35 in the first service. Who knows? There might not be any in this next service. I've not been called by God to ensure how many choose to follow and how many choose to be obedient. I've just been called by Him to say, here's the truth. And there'll be folks that'll go online and they'll sit there and say, can you believe this church? There were folks that walked forward on Sunday and they went ahead and baptized them. They didn't put them through a 3-month course. They didn't have them go through a 2-year training period. Well, what'd the Bible say? Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people followed Jesus. 3,000 people were baptized that day. 3,000 people were added to their number. When? That day. That day. We can go to Acts chapter 8. And in Acts chapter 8, there was this Ethiopian official that was there, and he didn't know anything about baptism, right? He had just started learning about Jesus Christ and surrendering to Jesus Christ. Philip, a deacon, is there, and Philip all of a sudden starts sharing with him the gospel and sharing with him the meaning of baptism, explaining it to him. And then listen to what it says in Acts 8:36. It says, as they traveled along the road, now check this out. They came to some water, and the Ethiopian said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Now, theologians would say this as they studied that course, that track, that road. They're like, there's no really major body of water along that or not. I don't know. I've not studied it out. But there are some that have said, you know what? The only way he could have done something is it would have been a wadi. It would have been rainwater collected, and it would have been a huge mud hole. We don't know, but listen to what he says. Why shouldn't I be baptized? That's a great question. So he gave orders to stop the chariot. Right, stop, screech, cancel lunch. We're not going to be at the burger joint at 12:10. It'll be all right. We've got more important things than filling our belly. And then Philip and the Ethiopian went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. Well, Pastor, I want to pray about it. That's what I've had folks say to me before. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but I've not been baptized, so I'm going to pray about that. I don't try to belittle who you are or what you've said, but the equivalent of that would be you saying this: I'm going to pray about whether I murder somebody on my way home today. You don't have to pray about that. You know what God's word very clearly says about that. Likewise, you don't have to pray about following through in believer's baptism, because we know exactly what God's word says about that. So in essence, it would be like, okay, Peter, let me talk to you a little bit here, Peter. Peter, understand, you know, he argued with Jesus too. And so I want to talk to you who are arguing with Jesus, because I know you have all these excuses. Some of them are practical. Some of you are here and you're like, hey, this doesn't even apply to me. No, no, no. Baptism is the first act of obedience. And while you may have honored him in that first act of obedience, it could be you're at the fourth act, or you're at the 20th act, or there could be something else in your life as a follower of Christ that he is saying, be obedient to me in this. And so I've had folks that have come along and they have these little objections, and they agree with me in theory, but it's like they're arguing with Jesus in their mind, and they're like, well, see, the thing is, I can totally hear what you're saying, but I didn't really come dressed for that today, and there's no way I can get baptized in what I'm wearing today because it'll be see-through, and I just can't do that. And no worries, we've got dark-colored t-shirts and dark-colored shorts for you today. And then there are folks that say this: but see, now, when I get done, I won't have any dry undergarments, you know, the unmentionable. No worries, we'll have those for you too. You don't even have to give them back. We'll let you keep them. Plenty of towels for you. You got to have towels, right? You dry off. We've got hair dryers back there. I don't understand, but we do. I got a hair dryer in my office. Every time I open up the drawer and I look at it, I just laugh. Can't make you do it. It's not my call to make you do it. John the Baptist came baptizing. And what did he say? I've come to prepare the way for the Lord. And that's what we're trying to do. Prepare the way for the Lord in your life. And you say, well, now I've got all my stuff. What am I going to do with all my stuff? What's going to happen to all my stuff? We've got security guys here. They have guns. We have police officers that are hanging around. They're going to make sure your stuff is good. It's not going to be stolen. That's my stuff, but what about my kids? What am I going to do with my kids? Hey, we'll watch your kids. You can go. You can get changed. If you want to bring them back out of here so they can see you follow through in the obedience of baptism, we'll do that. Or if you're like, you know, no, that's okay. You can just keep watching my kids. I don't know. Come back next week and pick them up. We'll give them to you then. Hey, listen. First service, there's a mom who comes forward and says, while I've been a follower of Jesus Christ, I've never honored him in baptism. I've never been obedient to him in baptism. And I know that if I'm going to have abundant life and be used by him, I have to honor him in this. And I want to do this today. Her two teenage daughters came with her. And here's what they both said. We want to surrender our lives to Jesus right now. And we want to be baptized with our mom. And Scott was able to baptize a mom and two daughters in the first service. You say, well, what about my family? My family's not here. Shouldn't my family see it? Hey, if your family's not here, there's a link that we can give them. We'll video this. They can go to our YouTube channel. They can go to our website, Facebook. They can see it. And by the way, I don't mean to minimize what you are saying, but when you die, you're not going to stand before your family and give an account for your obedience. You stand before Jesus. And can I just stop and say this? It's better to keep somebody else waiting than it is to keep God waiting. Because delayed obedience is always disobedience. And here's the final statement. The right time to do the right thing is always right now. And you're like, boy, this sure is high pressure. I know it is. This is high pressure. Can I just say, I believe Jesus was high pressure. Does it get any more high pressure than him saying, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me? And so I just can't apologize for calling you to do what the Lord has commanded you to do. Now, just to make sure we do this with integrity, we're not going to baptize anybody under the age of 18 unless your parent comes with you, or we can get approval from the parent on the phone, okay? Because the church is not parental authority. And so that's what we do when it comes to any of our baptisms, okay? And so we're gonna do that. You say, well, who's supposed to be baptized today? Well, first of all, you don't need to be baptized today if you've already been baptized as a believer in another church. That means this, your faith and trust are in Jesus Christ. Then you surrender through baptism, right? The first act, it happened after you were saved. It is not a part of your salvation. You don't get baptized and then, now I've given my life to Jesus Christ. That is out of order. But it's not a situation to where you would say, well, I have been coming to Highland Park for a little while. Maybe I need to go ahead and get baptized at Highland Park. No. It has nothing to do with Highland Park. This has everything to do with you and Jesus. It has nothing to do with your mama's church. It has nothing to do with your daddy's church. It has nothing to do with the church down the road. It has nothing to do with any other church. So you don't need to be baptized if you've been baptized as a believer in another church. If it was your decision, right? If you were a follower of Jesus Christ and you meant it and it was your deal. You also don't need to be baptized if you have been baptized as a believer and you've kind of drifted from the Lord this week. It's not a situation where you're like, you know, I've really had a hard week this week and I've said some things and I've done some things and maybe I should just go in there and just kind of get clean. I mean, I cussed on the way to church this morning and maybe I should just go in there and have them baptize my tongue or something along those lines. Not at all. Not at all. And I know I'm having a little bit of fun, but please hear me. Don't you dare get up there and be baptized if this is just some sort of a game. If this is just some sort of cool spiritual thing that you're like, I think I should just go ahead and do that. We're talking about the very things that Jesus Christ died for. So I would just say this, don't you dare disgrace the Lord's death and devalue it by getting up there and doing something because your friends did it, or getting up there and doing something because you say, I think it would just be cool to do that. And you don't really intend on surrendering your life to Jesus Christ and following Jesus Christ. Don't dare do that. This is for people who say, I'm not perfect. And I will never be perfect. And so since I can't live a perfect life, I can't forgive my sin. Instead, I place my faith and trust in you, Jesus. And it's by your grace and by your mercy that my sins are forgiven. I am walking in you today, Christ. That there are those of you here today that have never made that decision. There are those of you that day in and day out or week in and week out, you hear the gospel come forth and you're like, not today, tomorrow, not today, tomorrow. Friend, it's always the right time to do the right thing right now. There are those of you here that maybe when you were a child, you were baptized and you're like, you know, the reality is I didn't trust Jesus as my Savior until after that. I'm not saying that every child that is baptized doesn't come to Christ. I was a child who was baptized and came to and knew Christ as my Lord and Savior. So I'm not trying to undervalue a child coming to Christ. We see many children here at Highland Park that come to Christ. Many children raised in your homes at the very age of birth have been taught the gospel of Jesus Christ and they respond to the gospel. But here's what we've seen throughout the years, that there are folks that are like, you know, I asked my mom if I was saved and she said, oh yeah, I remember when you got saved, but I don't have a clue. It can't be theirs. Salvation is not a spiritual heritage. Salvation is not an inheritance. Salvation is a personal individual decision. And so there's some of you here that you've never followed through in believer's baptism. You need to get it, what we say is, in the right order. And then there are those of you here that are like, you know what? I just don't know. I've been in, I've been out, I've been in, I've been out. Or you can nail it down today. When we publicly stand here and we say, who is the Lord of your life? And you profess Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Then there are folks that say, do you really believe that they truly believe what they said, that they are indeed surrendering their life to Jesus Christ? Who are we to say they don't believe what they say? Who are we to say that? No, here's the gospel. Here's the first act. We will take you at your word. And then there are others of you here, and you sit there and you're like, boy, I can remember walking down that aisle. I can remember talking to the pastor. But that you examine your life and you're like, I've never seen any fruit of my life or in my life as being a follower of Jesus Christ. And yet the Bible says that's an identifying mark of somebody that's a follower of Jesus. Not perfection, but change. You're not who you used to be. Your desires have changed. And so that's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, you recently made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, and you've never followed through a baptism. Today would be the day for you to come and for you to do that. About 150 years ago, the American Baptist Mission Society, they sent out a group of missionaries to a remote area of India. And in this area, there were primitive tribes that some of which had been headhunting tribes. And so they were not welcome there with the gospel message. They ended up in a little part of India named Assam. One missionary, out of all of his work, managed only to have one family converted. And that family was a husband, and it was a wife, and it was two children. They came to Jesus. When the village chief heard about it, he was angry. The village chief had this family, the husband, the wife, the two children, drugged before the village. He had archers that were there with their bows ready to go. And he said, you renounce your faith in Jesus Christ, or you're going to die. The father of this Indian family, here's how he responded. I have decided to follow Jesus. The archers shot his two children and killed them before his very eyes. And then the village chief said again, unless you renounce your faith, your wife will be next. To which the man replied, though none go with me, I still will follow. And the wife was shot dead. The village chief said again, it will cost you your life now unless you renounce your faith in Jesus Christ. And here's how he responded. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. And they martyred him right there. The village chief was so moved by their willingness to lose their life because of their faith in Jesus that right there he said, I surrender to the God of Jesus Christ. That entire village came to know Christ, and the entire part of India transformed through that village. Because one family dared to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, I still will follow. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. And that's where we get that great old hymn. Here's what it says. No excuses. I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus. So the question is, are you in or are you out today? You've got to decide today. Some of you are there and you're sitting on the fence. Are you with Jesus or are you not with Jesus? Here's the way Jesus said it. Are you ashamed of me or are you not? Do you just want to follow Jesus when Jesus is handing out free stuff, right? Free food, neat stuff. He's going to make me healthy. He's going to make me wealthy. That's the Jesus I'll follow. Or are you going to say this? I'm with you, Jesus. From this day forward, I'm in you, Jesus. I'm not ashamed of you, Jesus. I'm going to stand with you, Jesus. Why? Because I belong to you, Jesus. Today is the day to make the decision. This is your opportunity And you know if God is calling you or not. You know if you are feeling that within your heart. I assure you, that is the very Holy Spirit of God calling you. Some are saying, no, it's emotional manipulation is what it is. Hey, if I could emotionally manipulate you, you'd be at my house this afternoon mowing my grass and washing my truck. This is not emotional manipulation. This is the word of God. And it's the presence of God drawing you and calling you and saying, honor me and be obedient to me in this, because I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm not going to take a word or two here and a word or two there, but I'm going to be obedient to him. And I know the first act is through believers' baptism. Remember what I said when we started this. Many of you in this room have already followed him in believers' baptism. And so you're like, well, this really doesn't say anything to me today. No, we say this all the time when we baptize here. This is the very first act of obedience, and our prayer is this will begin a life of being obedient to what Jesus says. So for you, it may have nothing to do with baptism. It may have everything to do with an act of obedience in your life. Will you decide that you'll be obedient to Jesus and follow Jesus?
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.